The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, sticking with the big and small screen, the water cooler moments of late have been all about traitors. We all know that there's a certain amount of treachery in business and workplaces, but can we learn from our favourite film and TV characters? Can they teach us about life and business? Our reporter Shifra Mulqueen has been finding out about some of our favourite on-screen models.
In my house, there was one show that was always in the background, and you know, it'd be the evening or Sunday afternoon and you'd hear the Only Fools and Horses TV show. Growing up, that was the soundtrack of our house. But I remember being upstairs and listening to my father's belly laughs down in the sitting room and kind of running down to see what was happening. Watching Del Boy, you know, doing his wheel and dealing, and the excitement of all that would really inspire us as kids just to run out and, you know, make our own deals.
Entrepreneur Sharon Keegan says Del Boy Trotter was one of her biggest business mentors, along with her dad.
Dad was a little bit of a Del Boy, him and his brother Noel, the modern day Del Boy and Rodney. My dad would get up and earn money no matter what, because he had the kids to look after. But I remember going into the press one day, and I mean, there was five or six different business cards with five or six different things and five or six different names. I was saying, like, who's Ricky Thomas? Like, who is that? A window cleaner, he was a truck driver, he was like, he had a computer components business at one point. Like, he just never gave up. No matter what, if there was a time where there was a lull period, Tommy'd be out reinventing himself again. A couple of knicker here for this and a couple of knicker here for that. And he would always say to me, this time next year, Sharon, we'll be millionaires. I say to my kids, this time next year, boys, we'll be millionaires, you know, and they're saying it now as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's been brought through 3 to 4 generations, that sentence. Let's hope someday we actually get there, Shifra.
For just £1.50, you can invest in one of these super deluxe trimming combs.
The two TV shows that I remember most from my childhood that I probably shouldn't have been watching at the time are Dallas and Cagney and Lacey. The juxtaposition of these two programmes between the Texan glamorpuses, bed hopping and fighting and a lot of inheritance issues, and the gritty New York stressed career women. It's no wonder I've ended up so confused.
Author and journalist Edel Coffey.
Dallas, which was just this blast of technicolor heat in a landscape that until then was black and white in my memory. When Dallas arrived, I just remember sort of being allowed to stay in the kitchen as long as I stayed quiet, because they wouldn't notice I was there. Dallas was incredibly inappropriate. You know, the women in Dallas, I don't think they were given the agency or the power that they needed. I actually wanted to be one of the guys in Dallas. Or maybe it's the mother of four children who wants to inspire fear wherever I go, because nobody listens to me and nobody does what I say. J.R. Ewing, a real baddie through and through, says things like,
once you give up integrity, the rest is a piece of cake.
It says things like,
never let that bastard get you down.
Which you can also say in a much more elegant way, which is nolite te bastardis carborundorum. Now, I never did Latin, but I think that's the correct pronunciation. I think it's a great motto to live by, and I think there's lots of good mottos to live by from Dallas, including, you don't wait for someone to give you power, you take power. Lots of stuff like that. I don't know if I see any of Jay or Ewing in myself. I think I'd love to see a bit more of him in myself, the kind of disdain for what other people think of him. So obviously, don't be a baddie, but not caring what other people think. I do abide by the principle that it's none of my business what people think of me, especially as a writer. If you listen to what people are saying about what they didn't like about you or how bad your book is, you'd never write another word. So, you know, you have to just put the blinkers on and focus on your own vision. I'm not going to say that I am a Machiavellian, power-hungry person, but maybe I'd like to be.
Well, in the 60s, we didn't have a television, all right? So I'd be in a friend's house and they had pirated UTV or whatever it was, okay? And The Saint used to come on. I thought the guy in The Saint was very stylish. Then subsequent to that, he appears in the Bond movies, and of course he goes up two notches because the Bond movies are terrific.
Brennan, Francis Brennan. His role model was Roger Moore.
And I kind of emulated him with the style and all the rest. I was kind of enamoured. I'd always hang around in Brian Duffy's house. That was the friends. I'd hang around his house if it was on that Tuesday or that Thursday, so I'd get a look at it. In your teens in Ireland and you're watching television and there's this fella looking great, full of style and doing nasty things in a nice way. Like it's one of those things you kind of think, God almighty, how does he get away with that? But it was the style for me that always kind of came through, and that was who I sort of saw as being the person that I'd like to be like. Presenting yourself is very important, especially in the hotel business at the level that I was at the five-star level. Like sometimes I think, oh God, it's a roasting hot day. Do I have to wear like a three-piece suit and the tie? But it is important in life that you just have to present properly, and that immediately sets a tone for the property.
Bond has taught Francis how to remain calm amongst chaos.
In latter years, they got more active people like Mr. Craig, or whatever you call him. They got those guys that were much more jumping over tables and leaping out of windows and all the rest and all that carry on. Mr. Moore didn't do too much of that as OSF, and he more suavely moved around in Aston Martin cars and all that. So it was much more, he took the easier route to stardom than terror. Do you know what I mean? Although he did break a tooth or something I saw somewhere, cracked or something. But in his time, it was more, you know, laid back. And, you know, there could be big explosions going on, or he'd be shot at, boom, bang, a bang, whatever. He always like came out with a suit looking beautiful. And, you know, it's a bit like the hotel business. The kitchen could be up the flipping walls, right? And I walk around the restaurant, everything is grand, but I'm thinking, oh my God, how are we going to get through this? But we always get through it in the end. And he'd be dusting the dust off his shoulders and walking away quite happy with life.
My name is Emma Langford and I am a singer-songwriter from Limerick City.
Emma has learned a lot about the music industry from surprising sources.
I grew up on a heavy diet of Disney. Like one of the first movies that my mother ever caught me singing along with, and she twigged that I could sing, was Thumbelina. And then I think Ariel, The Little Mermaid, was a big one for me. I watched that movie so many times. I was a Little Mermaid. Like, I love swimming and I loved her red hair. I wanted red hair. Like I dyed my hair red at one point in secondary school. She was singing all the time, and when there came a point where her parents were trying to tell her what to do, she wouldn't do it, and I'm sure my parents will relate very heavily to that. The only part that I didn't really click with when I loved it as a kid was the moment where she gave her voice up for a man. That was the part where I was like, not so sure about that. But everything else, all the stuff where she just kind of went against convention, the Disney princess thing of none of them wanted to be fit into a box. It wasn't about money, it wasn't about power, it was about doing what they felt was right in their hearts. Yeah, I guess that kind of got into my bones as a kid. Aside from everything my parents and family and everything else taught me, Disney did the job.
What I want from you is
your voice.
No more talking, singing, zip.
But without my voice, how can I...
You'll have your looks.
Definitely in the industry, you can wind up with these incredible opportunities, but you sort of sacrifice your agency. So I definitely think that is something to take on board as a musician. You can get all these short-term wins, but at what cost? When she finally comes back to herself, the prince is still in love with her. It's not about being perfect. It's about being yourself. Your voice is powerful. It's strong. It's important. To use it is important.
Sometimes being too similar to your role models has its downsides, as Sharon learned when she set up a spray tan business.
There's a great episode. They were given a job to paint a Chinese takeaway. 200 nicker for this paint job, him and Rodney. It turns out it was industrial road paint and it was luminous. So there's this very funny scene where they're standing in the Chinese and the Chinese is glowing basically. But I remember as a kid taking on this tanning machine for the first time. And the first person I had into the tanning to get his tan was my father, right? And I never, ever forget him walking out the door the next day. My dad worked for Roadstone and he was the colour of his high vis jacket. No mess. He was glowing the whole way down the road. And I remember the neighbour next door saying, has Tommy been away?
Sheffer McQueen reporting there.